Grab your weapon, grab your best friend, we're going on an adventure. It's time to prove that true strength isn't about the size of your muscles, but the size of your heart. And maybe your ability to dodge literally everything. This week, we're going over Ranking of Kings. Welcome, anime fans and foodies, to Anime Bento. Each week, we review a different anime, and we give you some fun recipes to go along with it. Joining me this week is...
Hey, everybody. It's me, Epically Dave.
Hey, David. I'm so glad to have you back on. It's been a full circle.
It sure has. Feels like it's been a minute.
True. Yeah, well, I don't know. It's been too... I feel like I talk to you every day, so it doesn't feel too long, but...
been long enough for me. How about that?
Okay. Oh, thank you. Too long about talking about anime. I guess we don't really talk about anime when we talk to each other.
Yeah, you're right. I feel like we tend to save it for these episodes. I don't think we ever really talk about anything like any of our new anime just in case we go to cover it for this.
Okay, this might be just a side note, but man, we haven't even talked about My Hero and the last season just started.
Yeah, we haven't even touched it yet.
I'm not caught up because I'm only watching dub. Sorry, everyone. But man, well, we need to talk about that eventually in our downtime. But I have thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I am excited to talk about this anime with you. I picked it especially for you because I thought you would enjoy it.
Especially for me. Okay. Yes. Well, you're right about me enjoying it. But why especially for me?
Well, when we first started getting to know each other, you said you wanted to learn sign language. I don't know why that resonated with me. And I was always like, oh, David is the sign language guy. So when I saw this anime and there was a lot of signing in it, there's not a lot of signing in it, but it's part of the anime. I was like, oh, maybe David will enjoy this one.
Fair enough. Okay. I mean, you are right. I have always wanted to learn sign language. I'm still, gosh, how long have we been friends now? 5 years. And I still have not learned any of it.
I can't blame you. My Duolingo bird is upset at me. He's just on my app, angrily looking at me. He's been like, it's been 300 days since you last tried to learn. But let's dive into some recipes for this week's anime. This week, we have some delicious treats for you to try out. Our cocktail is called the Mitsumata Elixir, combining blue curacao, coconut rum, Midori, amaretto, pineapple, and orange juice. This is going to make you wish you didn't lose your third head. Our mocktail this week is Despa's Payment, combining orange and lime juice, adding mint honey syrup, and topped with ginger beer. This is going to bring you the payment to become the next number one king. And finally, we have Boji's No Bake Cheesecake. This is a fun, easy, no-bake ube cheesecake. This will have you craving for seconds. And don't worry, you don't have to be a giant to eat it. Hope y'all get a chance to try out these recipes. If you do, we would love to see them. Tag us at Anime Bento. Now let's jump into the show. Ranking of Kings. The story follows Prince Boji, the first prince of Boss of the Boss Kingdom. Despite being born deaf and incredibly small, Boji is determined to fulfill his dream of becoming the greatest king in the world, a world where monarchs are literally ranked by power and prosperity. Ranking of Kings aired in October of 2021, and you can stream it on Crunchyroll. Spoiler warnings. Warning, the following contains information that could ruin your anime viewing experience. Turn back now if you're not caught up. Okay, David, Ranking of Kings. I'm just going to start off the bat that this is one of my favorite animes. It's moved its way up there. It's in the top 10. I want to know what you thought of it.
Truly a work of art. It was not something I expected. And as the show continued, it was... I can't even put into words how I felt about this anime. you talk about it being one of your favorite anime. For me, one of my favorite characters of all time has got to be Boji. The kind-hearted, the innocence, but also trying to be fit for a king. I love him. He was my my reason for continuing the show so much. First impressions, it took a minute. I will admit, it took a minute to figure out everything that was happening, but it still made sense as it progressed. The more details you got, it became a little bit more fluent with the storyline and started to make a little bit more sense. But there were plots left and right that you don't know who's on whose side or what's going on. But all I know is that I am on Boji's side. And this anime resonated with me so hard because of him.
And Boji would be on your side too. Boji's on everyone's side.
Absolutely.
This anime was suggested to me by a friend, shout out Paul, a while back. And it took me a while to finally get to it on my list. And I am... Okay, just last week's episode, everyone, for the podcast, I watched Godzilla Singular Point. And to say that that anime was rough and a struggle to get through and how much I was excited for that to this... This anime, I could not put it down. Ranking of Kings is 23 episodes long, and they just flew by. I didn't want to stop. To stop to sleep, to go to work the next day, is always... I did not want to put this anime down. It was so great. I love Boji. For a character who can't talk, it's amazing how expressive and how well communicated that character is. I didn't even... At times, I felt like Kage, where I was like, oh, I understand what Boji's saying right now. These characters are so amazing. Every time I thought, oh, this is the villain, I don't like them, or this person is going against Boji, or they hate Boji, you find out that there's something... the root of this. There's something behind all of it and all their actions, and you're just thinking to yourself, I can understand why they're this way. I can understand why they're doing these things. Oh, I cannot recommend this anime any more than this. I recommend it, everyone. But on that note, let's dive into the story a little bit, the arc. And again, I feel like there are no filler episodes in this. A lot of these animes we've been watching have not had any filler episodes. And for 23 episodes, I think Ranking of Kings is really good, well-paced. The story's amazing. But what do you think, David?
I wholeheartedly agree with you. I'm glad your friend recommended it for you because we're on the same page. Miguel watched this with me. For those who don't know, Miguel's my husband. But we watched this together and we were on the same page of we got to keep watching. We've got to keep watching. We did not want to go to bed. We didn't want to have to get up and go to work. We wanted to just keep watching to see what happens. It's incredible. There are some really... adorable moments. There are also some very high stress moments throughout the story. But it's the pacing is, I'd say it's fine. I will say that there's a lot that does happen, like in your first 15 episodes, that it does seem like you've already told a season and a half. So I will say that there was a lot going on, so much so that it did seem to be more than a full season. But that was just me.
For me, the pacing was perfect for myself and that I never felt that this was a chore. There never felt too long of a part that I got extremely bored at. Overall, I even love that it's just this one contained season. I could want more of this, but the way it ends is just perfect for me. These 23 episodes, I do say I have maybe one complaint about how it flowed there. I can't remember what episode it is, but it's in the towards the end, I believe. And the episode starts off with a recap of things that have happened prior, I guess a recap of the season almost. And it takes a good 5 or 6 minutes of the episode. And I thought, oh, we're doing a flashback episode where we cover everything up to this point. But then we did get into new stuff. That's kind of my only complaint, that I wish we didn't waste 7 minutes of a show that I love so much with kind of recap. Because I can't imagine someone stopping this show and needing to be retold what happened.
Well, there were definitely a lot of those kind of moments where they don't make it clear that it's a flashback. And you're spending minutes on end trying to figure out, like, wait a minute, wasn't this character just wearing a completely different outfit? Did they just do a time jump? Why is Dida back but helping out? Like, there were some moments where it was very confusing in that regard because they didn't make it clear that it was a flashback until maybe 10 minutes later. But it still, even with that, again, the pacing was still fine. It felt like there was a lot to uncover throughout the entire season. Not the end of the world by any means. It's still, like I said, I'm still in love with this show. I will say what's interesting is if we can side note this, the anime art style is very different than what I thought it was going to be, because it was almost more cartoonesque than it was anime. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like I feel like this is the styling and the drawing of it all looks older, like an older style, more hand mm-hmm. kind of style. I didn't see a lot of there's not a lot of CGI, I believe, in this. I think it feels timeless. It's very classic looking to me.
Definitely. And I mean, I'm okay with that. Like it was great to watch. It definitely had its cute moments because of the art style.
Yeah, if you would have said this was in the 2000s, like the early 2000s, I would have believed it too. Just because it looks, like I said, it looks timeless. Kind of when you watch, I don't know, certain Disney movies and you're just like, oh, this feels as rich as it, like Beauty and the Beast. You know, when you watch Beauty and the Beast and you see them coming down the staircase and they're dancing and you think to yourself, oh, this is a timeless animation style. It just looks really rich and well. This looks like a storybook almost to me.
Yes. And it reminded me of a few of like the newer Cartoon Network shows with the art style, and not necessarily in a bad way, but in a way that like I would have expected I would have enjoyed. But they definitely did it really well. Going from the web manga that it is to now the anime, and it's great. I liked it, not what I expected at first, but I still thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, me too. Like I said, it just feels that I can rewatch this over and over again. This will be my second rewatch of it. It just feels like a really good story, even though you know what's going to happen at the end. It's told really well. The characters, I can't wait until we dive into all the characters. I will just say there's no character I don't like in this anime. Every character redeemed themselves to me in this show.
Which is interesting because we started talking about that too, especially with you know, before we get too deep into like the characters, but Queen Hilling, like,
yes,
immediate hate, like the way she was talking to Boji and like, you know, the way she portrayed herself and the way that it seemed she wanted to have Dida on the throne over Boji and everything, but then getting all this backstory of who she is, what she's been trying to do for Boji, and, you know, why she has her thoughts and opinions, but also the love that she has for Boji at the same time and what she would do to protect him. It makes them very complicated characters. It makes you love and hate them.
Well, I think that's really well put. Every character in the show is complicated, is more complex than what they seem to be when you first meet them.
100%. And that's definitely where, you know, it makes them more human more than anything else, is that complexity. But it does it in such a way that it's not just, not like in any other anime where they can be complicated characters. But I mean, this show honestly half the time gave me Game of Thrones vibes. half the time. So it was definitely one of those I wanted to keep watching for that reason. Like, oh, is Boji going to end up on the throne or is there going to be somebody else? And there's a lot of people getting mauled by lion creatures and stabbed and bodies taken over. Like, I'm like, who's going to come out on top with this whole thing? Because it's quite the story. But yeah, as we continue to progress in the storyline, you tend to like every character for a reason or another.
Well, on that note, I think we should just dive into the characters.
Let's do it.
Okay, first up, as always, we have our main guy, or our main character, I mean. We have our main person. Sorry, everyone. I don't know why I got all weird. But we have our main character, Boji. I know we all love Boji. What are your thoughts on Boji?
Boji is innocence. He is kindness. His entry to this whole anime was absolutely adorable. Walking through town because he gave up his clothes, essentially butt naked, trying to get back to the castle, and everybody sees this young prince. It's just like this goofy little deaf kid who doesn't have a care or any sense in the world. And in all reality, it was pure kindness out of his heart as to like what that's why he was the way he was at that moment in time, was because he gave his clothes up. Even though you find out very quickly why he was giving his clothes, and the other person wanting those clothes for money and food versus because they truly needed it. Seeing Boji's growth from his kindness to then having to display these characteristics of a king, you know, he gets in trouble for being a dodge then attack fighter, being told that that's not the fighting style of a king. Even though he kept winning over and over again, he's trying to be who he wants to be by just being himself. And I really think that there is something really important in that lesson, is just because, like, if you're wanting to be someone specific or wanting to be something, do something with your life, but you can still do it by just being you. I love that about him, is that that's who he is. Even though he keeps trying to take everything that he gets as far as that feedback to heart, whenever he's told he's doing something wrong, he takes it to heart and he wants to learn from it, but he's still just him. I don't know. I love everything about Boji. I need to protect him with my life.
Boji, to me, is, put this, he's such a complex person. I feel like, for me, I want to say he's like forgiveness, because he doesn't hold on to these things that people say about him, but we find out he does in a way. I love the fact that Boji is a strong emotional character. He's not strong physically, but what he lacks in that, he makes up for in his loyalty and his unwavering trust in people.
Absolutely. He sees the good in everybody.
And it's not to say that Boji will just kind of let go of anything. We see that in the first couple episodes, when his trainer, or is it his trainer, his teacher, his mentor, betrays him and pushes him into the underworld, he's not easily to forgive Domas for what has happened to him. But I feel like through people like Kage, who see the good in Boji and see that Boji only cares for others, it's weird. It's like Boji's strength and his kindness and his loyalty rubs off on other people, like Kage, who shows it back to him, which gives Boji the strength to forgive Domas for what he's done. It's just, like, I'm going to bring this up at the end of the episode where we talk about the themes of stuff, and just like breaking the cycle of hate is one of the themes I think in this. In that sense, Boji is starting a cycle of love and friendship.
Yes. I agree. And you started to just say something about his courage, his kindness, his compassion, his forgiveness, how it rubs off on people to help him grow stronger. But then there are those who see it as a weakness of Boji. And I feel like it's the exact opposite, because those characteristics are his greatest strength in order for him to be a great king.
Oh, definitely. And I think when I see Boji, we see Boji fighting with Daida in the beginning. And Boji's constantly dodging, and he's getting these hits in on Daida, but he's not attacking full force. Because when we see the flip side of it, and Daida's attacking Boji, Daida beats him hard. And the comment made about Boji's fighting style is that, what was it? It's not kingsly, or it's not a respectable way of fighting. And we see Kage witness this, and Kage says, oh, wow, Boji's very smart and very technical. And then other people see it as, oh, it's a cheap way of fighting. And it just felt like the world was against Boji, or the world didn't want Boji to succeed for any reason. No matter what Boji could do, it wasn't good enough for the surrounding people around him to allow him to be the king over his brother. It's just to prove that Boji has never let anyone hold him back. He knows what he wants, and he's willing to work to get to it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, when it comes to Boji and everything he is, I think of every past anime character that has some sort of characteristic that is shared with Boji. There are several that have different characteristics that you love about them. But I don't know. Boji is so different from most, if not all, of those kind of characters. I want more anime like, but there probably already is, right? I want more anime like this, with this kind of character who has some sort of like tendencies to be everything good in a person without having to show, do we know how young he is? I don't remember if that's ever stated anywhere.
Well, okay. I think Daida has got to be 14, 15 years old, you think? Took a wife at the end.
It seems like it. Yeah.
So maybe oldest Daida's 17, youngest I would say 14.
But Boji is older.
Yeah, so Boji is about, two to three years older?
Something like that.
So, 17, 18, 19. He's 19, oldest.
Even though he 17. Still comes off as like a 10-year-old boy.
Yes, but that's because he's small.
Right.
So, and I also think his innocence comes into factor, making him seem younger than he is. I just, my last thoughts on Boji is that Boji is a main character that I love. A character who doesn't suddenly gain superpowers, who has to really work for it, who doesn't let other people stand in their way to achieve their goals. They know what they want, and they know that they have to go on this journey to achieve it. Boji's just such a great main character, in my opinion. In my sense, he's one of the perfect main characters. It's just, he does no wrong. He does no wrong. Boji is so pure that it would bother me in any other anime, but in this anime, it just works so perfectly that he stays pure.
Yes. 100%. Like, I'm all for, like, a main character, you know, goes bad redemption arc, but sometimes it's just not needed. And in Boji's case, it's not needed. I like seeing everything he is and every bit when it comes to him growing as he is. Sometimes people are just people consistently. A story doesn't always have to be about them changing to make a story good. He changes more physically than anything.
I will say, yes, he gains more strength, but his heart stays the same, which I enjoy. Next up, I would say, not a main character, but I lumped him in the mains because I love him so much. And to talk about characters, sidekick characters that grow on you instantly, this is a character that I attach to quickly. And I would say he is my favorite character in the show. and that is Kage. I love the design. I love the voice. Kage is just such a great friend to Boichi.
Loyalty to a T. I think he's funny. There are definitely moments where Miguel and I were both truly laughing out loud to some of the things he said. But when it boils down to like the loyalty he has for Boichi, because he's seeing all of the pain and the hurt that Boichi is going through and how people are treating him. When he did nothing but present kindness to Kage, I think there is a lot about Kage that really needs to, and I don't even know what words to use. I'm kind of taken aback this episode at the moment. Kage is one of those characters. They give you a backstory, but like you still want to know even more of the backstory because of who he is, how he's raised, but how he came to befriend Boichi. You get to see that part, but it's, I don't know. He is one of those characters that he's seen the rough edges of the world. And then he finds this joyful boy who just wants to help him in any way that he can. At first, he just wanted to take advantage of him. But then he realizes who Boichi is as a person, experiences what Boichi is experiencing by observing and realizing that Boichi needs that fan, that friend, that loyalty, somebody who's truly faithful to Boichi who won't turn his back on him for whatever reason. And he's with Boichi essentially the entire story. And it almost makes me feel like, man, I wish we all had a Kage in our lives. You know, we always want to be that faithful friend. We always want to be there for them. But Kage, he's a shadow, right? He's part of a clan of assassins. But the way he's depicted in this anime is he's a shadow of sorts. And, you know, you could have a deep conversation about that in and of itself, about him being a shadow. But this shadow never leaves Boichi's side. He's his friend through everything that he goes through and is there all the time. You know, we as human beings try our best to be that for all of our friends. But like, you know, like you're in my case, we're physically, we're not there around each other as often as we would like to be. But, you know, we still have each other's backs through thick and thin no matter what. But it is definitely wholesome seeing it in this anime form where, because he's a shadow, he can literally go anywhere with Boichi and have his back. I think Kage is a worthwhile character that even if he had his own show or anime, I think there would be a lot of great storytelling for him.
I don't want a Kage spinoff because I don't want Kage without Boichi. I don't want them ever to be separate.
You're right. You're right. You're right. My bad. You're right. You're right on that.
I need them together. And Kage, man, you meet Kage, and this is, I feel like I'm going to say this about every character we talk about. You meet Kage, and Kage's stealing Boji's clothes. Is it stealing if he's asking for it and Boji's giving it to him? I don't know. But he is taking it's a gray area, I guess.
Right.
But he is a thief and he does steal. And then we find out that when he was a child, his mother was killed and he was abandoned and he's just kind of been trying to find his place. And one of the parts in his flashback that really stuck out to me was when he's talking to his mom about them being shadows and why people hire them, and his mom saying that it's just because this is what we were made for. Our bodies can do this, so that's what we do. And she was talking about how they do assassin work, and if they were to ever be killed, it's just kind of the turnaround of the world, like the circle of life, I guess, or just an eye for an eye. Something like that. It's just, but you really think all Kage wanted was a family, and all he wanted was a friend, and the world only saw him as a monster or something, like someone who can't be trusted. And then Boichi comes into his life, and Boichi sees him as, even before they become friends, Boichi sees him as a person and someone who needs something, and he helps him without asking anything in return. And it's just amazing to see that Boichi's able to break down Kage's walls and how Kage is there to support Boichi no matter what. Kage risks his life many times, even sacrificing his life at the end to protect Bochi as someone who's shown him true kindness. Kage is just so amazing, such an amazing character, and so just such a great comic relief. There's so many funny characters in the show, and Kage is just so funny. One of my favorite moments with Kage is at the end, towards the end, when Queen Hilling is asking him, will he bow and swear his allegiance to Bochi protecting him? And then Kage says, I don't owe you any words. And he calls her a jackass. And then she's like, how dare you? He says, well, if you stop being a jackass, I won't call you a jackass.
That is my favorite moment almost of the entire series. Miguel and I were truly laughing our butts off at that scene. It was so funny.
And thinking about, I love that. And just how she was thrown back by it. She's kind of proper, a proper queen-ish thing. And he's just calling her jackass.
And can you remind me, who is Hilling's bodyguard? Dorsh, right?
Yes.
Is that his name? Dorsh? Yeah. I love how she just like yelled at him, Dorsh, apologize on my behalf for what I said. It was so funny. Oh my gosh. We truly lost it. That is where like the best comic relief coming from Kage is truly the best comic relief.
And just in that, him calling her that, and there are so many other moments where Kage does not care who you are. Kage does not care if you're a king, you're a prince, you're a queen, you're a servant, whatever. He's going to just tell you how he feels. He's going to lay it all out there and he's going to say whatever's on his mind. And sometimes it is hurtful. Sometimes he does say things that hurts Bochi. But as a good friend, he also realizes when he is wrong. And he does say to Bochi, I was wrong about this. And, you know, if you believe in this and I believe in you and we're going to do this together.
Yeah, absolutely. They're definitely quite the duo. And I would love more of them.
Kage also has, to say that I must emphasize this. I might just have to say this at the top of every episode of the podcast. I am a crier, everyone. I cry a lot. And to say I cried a lot watching this anime is an understatement. I feel like every backstory, I'm crying. But especially not Kage's backstory, but Kage does die for a little bit in this show. And we see him in the afterlife. And we see his mom calling out to him. And that moment just broke my heart.
Yeah. It's... There were a few moments like that in the series where it kind of rips your heart out, the background some of these characters have in general. Even if they're like happier, they still set it up to where it's like, aw, they tug on your heartstrings quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, I could go on about Kage for an hour. Just my favorite Kage moment. Like I said, Kage is my favorite character in the show. I think the only time I was really upset with Kage is when he left Bochi at the end of the series. After Bochi becomes king, spoilers, Kage leaves his side because he thinks Bochi doesn't need him anymore, and that upset me.
Yeah, I do wish that he could have just been there. I know it's to tell the story of how he became the king, but there shouldn't have been a reason why Kage would have wanted to leave. There's just no. If he's his faithful friend and companion, and now your faithful friend and companion has become the king, why wouldn't you want to stay? Why wouldn't you want to continue to see him succeed?
I mean, I can understand, though. I do feel like it did seem like Bochi finally found everyone who was rooting against Bochi accepted him and understood who Bochi was. And it did feel like Kage didn't have a... In his mind, it seemed like he didn't have a place anymore, that he helped Bochi do what he wanted to do. And now it's time for Kage to start his life and become a respectable person. I really loved the end where Kage is out job hunting. He's like, I see you're looking for a salesperson. Kage is just such an amazing character. There's so many great amazing characters in the show. Another character that I hated and then I ended up loving is, well, we'll just start with Queen Hilling. Like,
yes.
A character that I thought when we kind of dove into killing the first 4 or 5 episodes, I was in my mind thinking, oh, we're getting that stepmother trope of evil stepmother comes
evil queen.
In. I have my own child now, and this is the one who I'm going to be backing for king. And I don't believe it. Just it felt like, oh, man. Because they did tell a little backstory of Queen Hilling and how she wanted to have Boji feel like she was his mother as well. And she was trying to, I don't know, earn his respect, earn his trust, become of that figure for him. And then we get these flash forwards to the present time, and she's so rude to him and she's so mean to him. And it's just, oh man, is she going to be like this the whole season? It's just, and I was like, oh, I'm glad we're leaving the castle so we can be away from her. And then suddenly moments happen and I'm like, never protect this woman, protect her at all costs. What were your thoughts on Queen Hilling?
Yeah, I mean, kind of the same thing as you, as far as the first few episodes, that was the exact my thought process. Like I said earlier, when we first started, this episode was like, you know, she was that evil stepmother. She had a lot to say about Boji to Boji. He could read her lips, and it hurt him, the things that she said that she didn't realize he could understand. And she, like, you're just like, gosh, how dare you treat a child like that, let alone your new child? And it was so frustrating. But yeah, as the stories continued and you get to know Hilling a little bit more and the things that she was trying to do for Boji, to become a mother for Boji and to be that queen that everybody wants to be, she's highly critical of Boji, but she absolutely cherishes him. Whether or not he's her real son, she spends so much time with Boji. She heals him consistently all the time whenever he gets hurt. I don't know. I want to dislike her for the way she was at the beginning of the story, but then understanding she's trying to get him ready for the throne. Obviously, when the time came, she did decide he was still unfit for the throne. I do think that may have been her way of trying to protect Boji. But I do think that all of the effort she put in to be strict with Boji was to help him and try to protect him in the only way she knew she could do. She could be for him. So I do genuinely love her. I think she is one of those individuals that are considered a complex character.
I would say the same thing, that I do believe she was, in her, it might have been just a misguided way of trying to protect Boji, but she was trying to protect him from the world, it seemed like. I love at the end when they're trying to crown Boji as king and he's very hesitant about taking the crown, and she looks at him and we get flashbacks of moments with her and him, and she says that, what does she say? That he's lost his courage. And then she corrects herself. She says, I took it away from him. And it's just these moments of that where she realizes, oh, I have hurt him. But then we get to see how much that she truly does love him and does care about him. There's the beginning when he wants to go on that trip and she reluctantly sends him off. It's when she heals the snake, when he's really sad about the snake dying. And, oh, by the way, Hilling has cool healing power. Hilling has healing powers. A tongue twister. It is so amazing. I loved seeing that magic aspect of it. I'm glad she had it. And how, as much as it felt like at times she hated, or not hated, didn't care about Boji, because I don't think she ever hated him. it was just moments where if he needed her, she was there for him.
Yeah, I don't think there was ever a hate. I definitely do think it's, again, I think she was just hard on him when she felt she needed to be. But she definitely was there in, you know, when the moments he needed her most.
Most definitely. It's so weird to just dislike a character so much. And then at the end being like, oh, I love her. When she's wearing that suit of armor, she's just on that horse. She's like, she's saying, we have to get back to the castle. And you just see her riding on the horse in that big armor. It's just, it's hilarious. And then on the flip side of how she, you think she would not be treating people well, or she seems very stuffy and very, I don't know, self-centered, selfish person.
It comes off that way.
Yeah, but then the way she treats the guards, when the guards are in danger, I don't remember the name of the guard, but on the guard's armor, it was number one on it. And it was a female guard, which I thought was cool, too. And she could have left that guard to die, but instead she comes back and she's trying to pull the guard away from the battle so that they both can live.
Yeah, she definitely has a care. She's just a strict person, but she definitely cares about her people, her kingdom, those who are closest to her. Definitely one of those misunderstood characters.
Yes. And in that sense, I feel like we should just talk about Daida. Daida, Boji's, was a half-brother and Hilling's son.
Yes. Stepbrother.
Stepbrother? Well, isn't it like a half-brother?
Half-brother is if they had... They
have the same dad.
Yeah, the same dad.
Yeah.
I was just about to define that, but yes. Daida is Boji's half-brother.
Yeah, because Hilling marries Boss, Boji's dad. And I wonder why... Well, I guess Daida takes after Hilling then. Because Daida's not a giant either. We find out why Boji's not a giant.
Right, right.
But Daida doesn't have giantness in him. So I guess he takes more of Hilling. Man, nah, I don't want to get into it, but having a giant baby must be rough.
That...
I mean, you're a normal human.
Just imagine trying to hold a giant baby. It reminds me of the movie Elf.
Oh, when he's being raised with the...
Yeah.
Elves? I was going to call him
gnomes. With his elf dad.
Yeah. Oh, and he's on his lap?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Daida, a character that I hated so much. I think halfway through this anime, I hated Daida.
I mean, I hated him episode one, but that was me.
When did you flip? I wonder if it's the same time I flipped on Daida.
When you start getting the backstory of him caring for his brother, I believe it's when he's trapped in the mirror dimension or whatever.
The dark dimension.
Yeah.
Wait, is that what it's called in Yu-Gi-Oh?
The dark? No, that's the Shadow Realm.
Yeah, he was in the Shadow Realm.
Essentially. He started to have moments of like flashbacks of him taking care of his brother, or like his mother, Queen Hilling, telling him that he needs to take care of his brother because his brother is incapable of taking care of himself. And you do get to see a few bits and pieces here and there of Daida, like some good in Daida. Just like Boji, he's trying to do what he can to, you know, live up to his expectations. And I think that makes sense. He's trying to be everything that he's asked to be. You definitely see some envy coming from him towards his brother. He believes that he's like, you know, he has to work for everything to be that prince, to hopefully be a king. The fact that he's working with the mirror to get what he wants. I really, really disliked him for that. But then I really, really liked him let me back up just a little bit. I liked him a little bit with the fact that when the mirror was trying to get him to drink his father's blood, to just immediately become everything he needed to be. When he was all like, no, if I'm going to do this, I need to do it by my own strength, by my own hard work. I did like that. But then I did grow to like him a little bit more when we are going through the whole magic mirror stuff.
Okay. My problem, I don't know. I guess we wouldn't have a show if Hilling just destroyed that mirror in the beginning. Because how did Dida even get the mirrors? One of the questions I have. Because Hilling throws it out of her room when she first moves into the castle. Because she says, that mirror is evil. And then Dida ends up with it? It's kind of weird.
I don't know. It could just be like Lord of the Rings. The One Ring somehow tends to find itself wherever it needs to be.
Dida is a very complicated character. Someone who I don't know. I wonder if it's because everything was taken away from him that we got to see that he developed a heart, or did he always have the heart? We do see there are moments in the past where he has defended Boji from bullies, but he was just so mean to Boji towards the end, but towards the beginning of the show, towards the end of the crowning of the new king kind of time. And I wonder how much was the mirror's influence over him.
Yeah, whether we think it was him or
Miranjo.
Was it him or Miranjo? Which makes me go back and forth of whether or not did I really like Dida or did I not?
I liked Dida at the end. At the end of it all, when everything's said and done, I liked Dida. I like that Dida got what he deserved, in a sense. Tried to kill Boji in the beginning of the show, right? He tried to kill Boji, everyone? So I guess getting stuck in the Shadow Realm is a just dessert for that. It's a good punishment, a good time out to think about what you've done. In there, though, he does meet Miranjo as a child form of herself. And he does take compassion upon her. Kind of, we see in that area, well, I used to call it the Shadow Realm. We see in the Shadow Realm that Miranjo is being attacked by these people. And he defends her without kind of knowing the full story of it all. She's wearing a mask. The mask comes off. He hands it to her. He sees her face is very disfigured. And he says, oh, you're a monster. And then he learns about her and he befriends her. He says, we're going to get out of this together. And it's really great seeing that Dida learns. Dida grows. Dida's not a good character in the beginning. And then he grows to be a good person. And he grows to do the right thing. And I really love that about Dida. It's hard to say, it's hard to hate that character at the end of the day for me.
Yeah, no, and I get that. Like I said, it's so complicated. And for me, not knowing where his true intentions lie, based on what we've seen, he's definitely that character that he's trying his best to be what people want him to be.
Oh, definitely. And one of those people who wants... It's weird in the beginning when we see his father's frozen body get chopped up and then he has to drink it. It is weird he just didn't walk away from that moment.
That part was wild. We were watching and we were like, what in the world is going on?
Because the mirror, we learned that the mirror is Miranjo. And then it leads him down this secret room. And then we see his dad's frozen body and it's chopped up. It's basically in a giant blender. They have a giant blender and they blend the body. And then that body turns into an egg and that egg grows into a giant chicken monster. And then they fight the chicken monster. And then he's got to drink the blood.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, it was so weird and wacky.
And I was thinking, well, good on you, Dida. Because he didn't want to drink it because he basically said, oh, there's something fishy about this moment. This is all weird. And he refused to drink it. Unfortunately, he was knocked down and forced to drink it. But he was right not to trust the liquid, the strange chicken dad liquid. But I think on that note, that brings up our next character that I think we should talk about is the mirror herself, Miranjo. And this character was so complicated to me. Talk about a complicated character too. Like, complicated character and like how I feel about who she is. We learn that there is a mirror throughout this whole show that's telling people what to do. And we find out that in that mirror is Maranjo, a person who was saved by, oh my God, now I can't, Bochy and Daida's dad. Oh no, Bochy. Bochy and Daida's dad when she was a kid. Boss.
Yeah.
And I don't know. What did you think about Maranjo?
Definitely. Gosh, she was a crazy, crazy character. With some interesting story. Now I feel like we kind of have to divide Maranjo's character up into almost like two characters, right?
Because mirror and human.
Yes, because she's something different when she's the mirror versus when she is just Maranjo.
Well, she does realize, I'm at the end, she is like, I did all that stuff though. She is saying, hey, all those bad things, I did do that. Even though I was a mere person.
Right. Which, I mean, and that's where I'm like, okay, maybe I don't like her as much.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
It is about Maranjo. She made a deal with the devil demon. Is that why she got trapped in the mirror?
That's kind of what it seemed like to me.
If any character I want to see more of their backstory or what happened, it might be just a Boss Maranjo story of what happened to them before he became king. There's so many questions I have for her. But Mirror Maranjo. What was that for you?
Creepy, but like, I mean, she has her own intentions. And then when they even ask, what are your true intentions here? It was, her answer was built on, like, seemed like built on revenge. I can't remember her exact words, but it was to bring, like, to make this kingdom fall or something like that. Obviously those are like the, what's coming from her, from what she went through as a human, but it's like her, just the dark side and only the dark side. So I don't know. It's hard for me to say I would love to protect her kind of thing. Or not love to protect her. I would want to advocate for her. Because I really don't think I would want to.
So you're not marrying her at the end of the day? Like Daida? See, I thought that was weird too. When Daida's like, I'm marrying you, by the way.
A little bit.
Okay, well then on the flip side, because Maranja's just one person. I think Maranja's just one difficult person for me. But okay, after Maranja comes out, because she's out of the mirror for very little. But I guess in human form, we see flashbacks. Is that kind of what you're talking about? Where you find the two different sides of her?
Yes.
Okay. Her childhood was very, very rough. Her mother is murdered. She is tortured by the village. They disfigure her face. They cut off her hands. And because we meet her in the Shadow Realm with Daida, and it seems like, oh, maybe she is, because we only know her as Mirror Lady, and you think, oh, maybe she is a bad person. But really, you find out, no, she did nothing wrong to this village. Her mom actually was helping all these people.
Right.
And it's just, oh, man, it's such a horrible story a horrible thing that happened to her, and Boss is the only one that protects her. And in that sense, it's really weird being, I can understand her motives, that she wants to live in this time where she was happy. And that was with him when they were traveling and he was on his journey to become the strongest. And that's when she was the happiest.
Yeah.
And then she just became overwhelmed, or not overwhelmed, but I don't know. She just wanted to be with him. And, okay, I was thinking about this the other day, about his boss's relationship with her, and I come to the conclusion of it's like a father-daughter relationship. What do you think?
No, it definitely seems like that.
And it does break my heart that Boss only wants to see her be happy because he knows how much pain she's been through. And for her, she doesn't want to be without him. and she'll do anything to keep him forever, even if it is to murder people. I mean, if Boji's mom can forgive her, then I have to, I guess. But she killed Boji's mom.
Right.
And, oh man, she is a tough one to come around. I do think at the end of the day, I did come around just because, I don't know, we all do stupid things, right? When you find sure. happiness and you're like, we never murdered anyone. At least right. I haven't.
But don't make it sound accusatory either.
Okay, for the record, neither of us have murdered people. But she has. Morocco has. It just now I don't know where I was going with this.
I don't either.
Man, you threw me off.
I did nothing.
Oh, I just mean like when you find happiness and you find that moment that really makes you happy, I guess it's that dopamine or I feel like we all collectors know this. People who open trading cards know this. The feeling you get when you open a trading card pack. It's that really nice high and you're like, I want to keep this or I want to be in this moment. And I feel like for her, she wants to be in that moment forever because her life was so rough in the beginning. And she says, if I could just live in this time for the rest of my life, I'll truly be happy. And it's caused her to do horrible things.
Right.
To live in that moment. Do you think there's redemption for her?
No, not really. Not every character needs a redemption arc.
So you don't, she's non-redeeming.
I don't think so.
Well, I think that wraps up, but are there any other characters you want to shout out before I get to one of my other favorite characters?
No, go for it.
Okay. We all know I love Kage. I love Kage so much. Great person. But then a close second, and I feel like truly someone who speaks to my soul is Despa. I love Despa a lot. Aside, spinoff show, just Despa riding his unicorn, his horse, his chubby horse is something that I would love to just see.
It is truly funny.
When we meet Despa, Despa just seems such a greedy character. He is a greedy character. He does a lot for money. But to see, I thought we were just going to get a short time with him. He was going to kind of take Boji's money, say some words of wisdom, and then Boji's going to be off. But he truly trains Boji to be the swordsman, to be this epic swordsman who can take on his dad at the end of the day. Despa is such an amazing character. There's so much I love about him, how just hilarious he is. And then we get the backstory about him and his brothers. And again, I'm just here crying about this backstory about how his brothers, each of them kind of, two of them had powers, one didn't. And then the one was corrupted by eternal life that he didn't even want. And how they want to save his, how he wants to save his brother from that. It's just, Despa's so amazing. I love Despa so much.
Yeah, no, he's definitely a very fun character. I don't know, I don't know if I have truly loved any other kind of characters from this show. It's outside of Dorsh. I really liked Dorsh, the dubbed Shield of the Queen, the one who consistently lays his life on the line for her. Even though she didn't want a bodyguard like that to begin with, he was a really good character. Outside of him, the other characters, they didn't really speak to me. They were all just, other additions to the story. There were a lot of characters in the series. Because we could go into Despa's brother, Desha, or Oken, I think his name is.
Yeah.
Oken. I just liked Boji to me is always the number one in this series, no matter what.
We all love Boji. Another character I really like was Hokuro. I think Hokuro is a great guy. He's the other person when Domas and Boji go off on their journey.
Yes, yes.
Something about him was just how he always observed how the world treated Boji and that he just wanted Boji to be happy. He wanted Boji to find his place in it. I love when he finds out that Kage is Boji's friend and that Kage or Boji has made a true friend and he starts crying. It's just, Hokuru is just such a great guy. I hope he becomes really, I do wish he would have just went with Boji at the end of the show.
Right.
I would have loved if he was one of Boji's first, I don't know what they call it, knights in this world?
Maybe.
Guards. Were there any other favorite, did you have any other favorite moments in the show? I know we talked about a lot of moments, so I don't know if you had any other standout moments.
And this kind of all happens like in the same battle sequence, but I loved the two-headed snake. I can't remember its name. The large serpent that saves Hilling's life. I loved that moment where it comes out and it saves her life. I love the moment where she finally sees Boji for the experience that he has, the strength that he has. Funny.
Yeah, I love them. Hilling is just funny. All her moments are just hilarious to me. I do love when the snake comes out. The snake's name is Mitsumata. And I love when Mitsumata comes up at the end. It's a giant snake now. And Mitsumata's like, we've met before. I was dying and you and Boji brought me back to life. Long story short, but come with me, Hilly. Man, there are just... Yeah, you're right. There are so many great characters. Oh, I remember a moment that... Well, are there any other moments you want to talk about?
I don't think so. We've gone through most of the story, again, by going through the characters, just splitting it up differently. I think that the humor is in the right spot. The action is in the right spot. Again, I think that the story is long, but worth it.
I would just a shout out to another moment that I really loved real quick is the when Boji is on his journey and then he runs into that weird king that went crazy in the woods.
Yes. You
remember when he gets trapped and then they sacrifice the boar or they like lift the boar up to tribute? I love the moment of just the spirits going into the clouds and then the clouds shooting out new animals and they're like, we lift these spirits up and then they become new animals to like replace the ones that we have taken. I really love that moment. I just wish it didn't get all weird and creepy at the end.
Right, right.
But on that note, what were some of the themes that you took from this show?
I kind of go back to what I had originally mentioned before with like Boji always being his authentic self. He wants to be kind. He wants to be helpful. He wants to be compassionate. He wants to be a king. And there's nothing wrong with being a king the way he is. Like, be who you want to be by being who you are. I think this story was authentic in that it was very unique with, you know, the fact that they used a deaf child to be the main story or the main protagonist. But it wasn't just about that. It goes beyond that. It talks about his personality, his character. And it is that alone has made that story fully worth it to me. That theme alone of being your authentic self is what I want it to be.
I like that. I like that a lot. Like, as I was saying, for me, it was about breaking the cycle of hate. I believe every character had a reason to hate each other or to hold something against each other. Boji to Queen Hilling, Boji to Daida, I guess Boji to everyone, really.
Right.
And then, in that sense, Hilling to Boss for taking Daida's body, Daida to Moranjo. All these people had reasons to hate each other for the rest of their lives. And I was saying in the beginning, with Boji kind of created this. He broke the cycle of hate by creating this cycle of forgiveness and friendship. And for me, that's the takeaway from this is just, you can't let these things consume you. And if Boji let this stuff consume him, he would have become a way different person at the end of the day.
Yes, 100%. But I'm so glad he didn't.
Well, like with every show, we rate it on our scale. So, David, what do you give Ranking of Kings?
I would have to go with Mouthwatering. I think, well...
Are you switching it up? Are you switching it up now?
I would probably, no, I'll stick with mouthwatering, because I would say my only complaint, and I know even satisfying is considered no complaints, but it was still mouthwatering in that I kept wanting more. I wanted to binge this series, but it did seem like the story lasted a very long time.
I feel like we differ here. Our ratings aren't too far apart. I gave it a chef's kiss. I love this show. I can see myself making this an annual watch. I like the pacing. I think it flows pretty well. There are very few moments where I got completely zoned out. So I think that's a good anime. For me, I zone out a lot. So to say that right. I barely zone out is a compliment, is an actual compliment. I love the style of drawing. Like I say, I love the style of drawing. As I mentioned before, I feel that it's timeless. It reminds me of those classic children's books. What are they called? They have like the golden spine. Do you know what I'm talking about?
That was a long time ago.
But they're like making a comeback.
Yeah, I can't remember the name though.
If you know the name,
I wanted to say Scholastic, but
no, it's not Scholastic. No. But it just reminds me of a classic children's story. I love Boji. I love Kage. I think that friendship is perfect. It reminds me of like Samwise and Frodo, but if they were both Samwise.
Right, right.
In the perfect world, you get two Samwises.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I don't even think I need more story. I would love a second season. I don't think I need it. I think it's just where it ends. It ends with Boji wanting to go on more adventures and to create his own kingdom. And it kind of is just Boji and Kage going off. And I think that's perfect. I already know what's going to happen. I know that those two are going to be loyal to each other. They're going to run into danger and whatnot. But as long as they have each other's backs, we're going to be fine. And Boji will win over the hearts of people. So I don't really need a sequel. I don't need a second season.
I thought there was a second season.
I don't think that's a second. I saw that there was another thing. I think that's a retelling of the first season. And just shorter episodes. Because everything, I went through it real quick because I haven't seen it, everyone. But the titles were very reminiscent of season one.
Gotcha.
So I don't think it's a second season. I wish it was, but I don't need it. I love the show the way it is. It's great. But those are just our opinions. But we would love to hear what y'all thought of this season. Tell us who your favorite characters were, your favorite moments, and even if you didn't agree with our ratings. You can leave us a comment at Anime Bento Pod. You can find me at Jimsa2.
And you can find me at Epically Dave.
That's all for this week's episode. Until next time, stay legendary.
Peace out.
Bye.
Bye.
The show.